And fascinating story now. In 2009, journalist Jenny Nordberg was interviewing Afghan parliamentarian Azita Rafat when Azita mentioned her four daughters. Jenny saw three and a little boy. She asked, "Where's the fourth girl?" And Azita explained she and her husband were raising her as that little boy. It turns out it's a custom to restore dignity to families in a country where girls are not valued, but also to allow the girl to work, to accompany her sisters on the street as a boy. And when the girls reach puberty, they change back to girls. Jenny Nordberg tells their story in the new book, The Underground Girls of Kabul, and joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Thank you.
This is what an incredible story. What are these girls raised as boys called?
They're called Bacha Posh. It's almost like a third gender. It literally means dressed up like a boy.
I mean, how humiliating is it for a mother to continually have daughters instead of boys?
It's humiliating both for a man and a woman and a mother and a father. But more than that, it's a practical problem. When women and girls can't leave the house and have little access to education many times and little freedom of movement, a son can move around and go out, work for the family, bring an income, go to the market. So it's a practical thing also to have sons. And also, sons are the ones who will inherit property. They're the ones who will carry on the family name in Afghanistan. Sons are what count. And if you don't have at least one son in a family, it is a huge problem. You're not only seen as weak, but you are actually very weak.
Well, and then in this case of Azita, this is a woman who has memories of Afghanistan before the Taliban and before the more recent wars, of Afghan women who are incredibly sophisticated at one time. She has other reasons for wanting her fourth daughter to experience something else. Would you read? There's a passage on page 15 in which she tells you about that.
Yes, she said, "I wanted to show my youngest what life is like on the other side. That life can include flying a kite, running as fast as you can, laughing hysterically, jumping up and down because it feels good, climbing trees to feel the thrill of hanging on. It is to speak to another boy, to sit with your father and his friends, to ride in the front seat of a car and watch people out on the street, to look them in the eye, to speak up without fear and to be listened to and rarely have anyone question why you're out on your own in comfortable clothes that allow for any kind of movement. All unthinkable for an Afghan girl."
Mm. So in some cases, it sounds as if it's an act of desperation, you know, to save face. I mean, you talk about women coming home from the hospital when they only have girls and no one gives them presents and no one gives them extra food, which they need. It's a shaming almost. So there might be a reason for raising a little girl as a boy to give some respect back to the family. But it sounds as if, you know, there might be mothers doing this so that their daughters can have a glimpse of something else.
That's right. It's a symptom of an extremely dysfunctional society. Mothers and women themselves simply give up on their own gender. So there's a tragedy to this. But there's also a small element of resistance and a reach for freedom. She approached their youngest girl, and she was five at the time, and she said, "How would you like to go outside, to ride a bike, to play cricket? Would you like to do that?" And of course, it seemed like a splendid offer, and the five-year-old said, "Yes, I'd like all of that."
Yeah. And so they live this secret life. Everyone in the family knows. But how can other people not know? Is this an open secret?
You can almost say that it's a don't ask, don't tell of Afghan society. Yeah. But the point isn't really to fool anyone. It's more a way of disappearing into a crowd. So it's almost like a cloak, an invisibility cloak that you put on and you disappear into a crowd. Then you get to see more of the sky as a child.
Well, but then what happens when that disappearing cloak is taken away? You meet Zahara, a 15-year-old who doesn't want to change. She wants to remain a Bacha Posh. One would think that as this practice continues, you're going to have almost a movement in Afghanistan of young girls who've known freedom and have to give it up.
They don't know many times of each other, though. It's usually one in a school or in a neighborhood, and they tend to do this kind of on their own. But there is resistance many times. In Afghanistan, you follow what your parents tell you. There's not that much room for revolt or resistance. But I have met quite a few girls who find the transition before they hit puberty very, very difficult, and they try and resist as long as possible.
Zahara told you to, I don't want to go back to the world of women. Their time is spent sitting between four walls talking. All the work that boys can do, women can do too. I know because I do it. It would seem like that kind of light bulb going off is going to be hard to dim.
Yes. Many of them can speak of this as a somewhat empowering experience in adult age when they're wives and mothers. They know that their bodies are capable, their minds are strong, they can speak up and be in the company of men without fear. Whereas those who actually go through puberty as a gender other than their birth sex will describe it as something much more difficult, where they say that the male stuck with them in a way that feels more uncomfortable because they're then between the genders almost.
Well, Azita, the mother whose entry for you into this story, has a very tough time. We get to see how much pressure there is on families that have just daughters. They have to think of the finances of marrying them all off and the dowries that go with that. I mean, it takes its toll. But meanwhile, this is the first time this practice has been publicized. Are you worried about this now being out?
Well, when it comes to children, this is not a controversial practice. I mean, the fact that there's even a name for this, a term, goes to show that it's something that's been around for a very long time. It's something that most Afghans are aware of. Just because we didn't know about this and just because we missed it, and I include in that category also many of the expatriate elite Afghans who've lived abroad for a long time and even those in Afghanistan and urban areas. This is something that goes on everywhere, and it cuts across social class, geography, ethnicity, level of education. Yes, these families are telling their stories for the first time. We've taken great precaution to preserve some of their privacy and some details of their lives. But it is something that they want to speak about. These are some very brave women who have decided very consciously to allow this as a window into what lives are like for women and girls there.
It's quite something. Jenny Nordberg, author of the new book, The Underground Girls of Kabul, the subtitle, In Search of a Hidden Resistance in Afghanistan, The Afghani Practice of Secretly Raising Little Girls as Boys. Jenny, thank you.
Thank you.
And don't forget, you can share stories like this one or listen again at hereandnow.org. We already have a book excerpt and some pictures there.